Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org.
As I was saying, I hope you've been blessed already. I have. And it's just a wonderful thing to have artists. Look over here. I know you're tucked back there. It's a wonderful thing to have artists to help enhance our worship. Let me try to move this forward a little bit so you can see me. Is that better for you over there? Yeah. Okay. Not that you need to see me, but, you know. I would like to take just a few minutes to unpack the gifts of each artist just a little bit with you. Sometimes when you're like me, you get a gift at Christmas and it comes with a little book of instructions. I always throw the instructions away and I'm looking at the gadget. And if you're like my husband, he's looking at the manual and reading it very carefully. And I've learned that you understand a gift a lot better sometimes if you just have a little something with it. The first one I'd like to highlight is the Bible. This was given to us by Rachel Partridge. Hopefully we'll see the slide here. Here it is. This picture was made by a man named Chris Harrison. Many of you might have seen this picture already, but it is a graph. The white line going down the bottom is all of the chapters of the Bible laid out. Okay? And all of the beautiful arches, the colorful arches, are where the Bible cross-references itself. Let me say that a little differently. It's where the Bible speaks a promise, and then in another portion of the Bible, it is kept. So if you look at that, you see how solid that is? How true, how good a God we have? This is a precious gift. And Rachel reminds us that when God makes a promise, he keeps a promise, right? And I loved her giving us that this morning. When I asked her to say, Rachel, what would you like to give the church? This is what she said. I want the church to see that we have true hope that Jesus is coming back again. He's already come to atone for our sins, and we're waiting for him to come and restore all things. Waiting now in this world we live has its troubles and is difficult, but we must be obedient to his will and continue in faith that he is coming soon. Rachel, it's been my privilege to get to see you flourish in your writing, and thank you for honoring us today. The next picture I'd like to show is an eye. This comes from the eyewitnesses, the accounts of eyewitnesses. This comes from Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to open my Bible here. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us." And many times we probably read that scripture and just get to the good stuff, right? But we don't take those two into account. Isabella Beaumont, our youngest artist of the group, has taken this as her task. If you will go out into the Home Life Center after this service, you will see a collage of eyes that she has drawn and painted. All right. When I asked her, what is it you would like to give the church? And she said this, I want to get at the inner emotion, the stuff that goes on in the inside. Many of us have heard the saying, the eyes are the window of the soul, right? We know when we are in fear. We know when we are angry. We know when we are crying through our eyes. Isabella reminds us that this, hold it up again. This is a human story full of human and broken people. And yet some people looked forward to the great story. Some people got to see it with their own eyes. And some of us look back, right? but we're all connected in our humanity. Thank you, Isabella, for bringing us that reminder today. The next picture I'd like to highlight is frankincense. And we already talked a little bit about that available right now at our communion tables. You're more than welcome to take communion at any time during the service and also enhance it with the frankincense. I want to talk to you a little bit about how it's harvested. As I was collaborating with Maria Beaumont, I was learning a great deal about frankincense. And these trees only grow in two places in the entire world, Somalia and Oman. And if you'll notice, this tree is growing in a very dry, dead place. It's a very scruffy looking tree too, isn't it? But it is a very healing tree. And the way they harvest the nard that comes out of this tree is by scraping the bark, in a sense, wounding it. And then the nard oozes out, and they collect it. And I have a little close-up picture of the wounding of the tree. Don't you think that's an appropriate gift to give Jesus when you see that? That even there, at the beginning of his life, by his wounds, we are healed. And frankincense, with its very old scent, reminds us that he was the life in a dry place, right? Maria gave me this wonderful verse from Isaiah 60, and I cannot read the entire thing, but let me tell you a little bit about it. Zion is the kingdom. Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Our king is come, and he's reigning on the throne in Jerusalem. And all the nations are coming to visit. And guess what they're bringing on their camels? Gold and frankincense. So to worship God, to worship him, frankincense. And by the way, the gift of smell, Maria, thank you for telling me this, 10,000 times greater than any other sense. That's powerful. I don't know if you're like me, I can walk and down a street and smell a certain scent and it takes me back to my childhood. Immediately I remember something. The beauty of scent. The temple of God was full of the scent. And so today we bring it back to our temple. All right, the next one. You just saw the beautiful video right before I got up here, is the shepherds. This was done by Madeline Lyles. She is our commissioned artist for this year. Unfortunately, she's not with us today. I think she was very happy about that, by the way. I said, Madeline, don't you want to talk? No. I have been working with her once a week and just trying to find that sweet spot where she really loves to create. And guess what that was? It was digital art. And guess who knows nothing about digital art? But you know what I knew? I knew what to do. I said, Rachel, show us the progression. She takes it from sketch to finished work. And she had two pieces in that video that were her pieces. And they are sitting out here in the Home Life Center. After the service, you may look at how she took it from sketch to finished product. All right, please do that. I asked Madeline, I said, Madeline, what would you like to gift the church with? And she said, the shepherds. I wanted to explore their story, small and insignificant to the world, but incredibly relevant to God. I love this painting. It is one of my favorite paintings. It is by a man named Julien Dupuis. If you look at his cloak, you notice the tatteredness of it. It's heavy, right? It's been worn and used a lot. Look at his shoes. They're actually strapped on. They're so worn. And that scrappy dog. But they're looking out over these sheep, right? This beautiful pasture land. Shepherds had a very difficult life, as many of you probably know. They had to live in extreme temperatures of heat and cold. They had to forage for their own food. They were always on guard against robbers and wild animals. And then what did they have for thanks? Is a bunch of helpless sheep, right? Interesting fact, though, in all of Scripture, this is the analogy that God gives of himself, the shepherd, the lowest upon the lowest in Jewish society, the smelly, the unwanted, the poor. And God says, that's me, watching over. Madeline reminds us that nobody's overlooked. Nobody is overlooked. That if you're poor and feeling insignificant, God notices. If you're feeling as if he's passed over, he hasn't. The next picture is, of course, Mary. Nancy Lee gave us just the most beautiful, don't you know, I don't even know what to call it. It's a beautiful oration of the Magnificat. This blending together of two languages and all the characters that she was able to hold. I've gotten to know Nancy pretty well. She comes to my house once a week, and we hardly can stop talking. Right, Nancy? We're always like, and Kendrick's like, it's 12. I'm like, that's all right. We'll just keep talking. We love each other, and we're getting to know one another so well. She's like a dear friend of mine now. And Nancy, I have seen you grow from this artist to finding your voice. And I must say, it's one of the honors of my life to get to do that. Nancy reminds us of a long-expected promise. You will have a child. This is a painting done by a man named Henry Asawa Tanner. Many of you may not know this, but he was the very first African-American to live by painting. He was born in 1898, and he painted mostly biblical scenes because his father was a preacher. Does that sound familiar, Dad? I have a theory about that many, many pastors' children are artists. This is one of his most famous paintings. And we meet Mary at the moment of complete submission, do we not, in this painting? She is humble. She's accepting. Right? And Nancy brought that out to us, did she not? Her humility, her acceptance of that. And also, Nancy has been researching on Mary. She's looked up the diet Mary might have had. She's looked up the kind of housing that Mary might have been in. And she came to me one day and she said, Dawn, this was a long 1,000-year promise that all of the women in the line of David wanted to be the one to carry the Messiah. And Mary said, it's me. It's me. And Nancy showed us that too today. The other picture I want to show with this is something that Nancy brought out in the next slide. It's just a vast sea of people, isn't it? Jew, Gentile, male, female, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican, independent. Everything in between, I'm sure. This message is for all peoples. Remember the message of the shepherds to the shepherds from the angels? I have come to bring good news of great joy, and this message is to all peoples. Nancy reminds us of that as she spoke in Chinese. Because guess what? God speaks in Chinese. Guess what? God speaks in every language and tongue and heart. The gift of Christmas is for all people. Thank you, Nancy, for reminding us of that. And lastly, the image that I would like to leave with is the wise men. This is probably a very familiar picture you might see on Christmas cards this year. The three wise men on their camels, and they're reaching Bethlehem, and the But one of the wise men is saying, look there, as the beam of light is coming down from the star to where Jesus is laying. By the way, we don't know how many wise men there were. We know there were three gifts, but we don't know how many wise men, right? But I just want to push back a little. As an image maker, I want to push back a little bit on the images that we take in as Christians. Guys, if it was this easy to find where Jesus was laying, why did the wise men have to go to Herod and say, where's the king? We've seen his star. Can you tell us where he is? Do you remember that part of the story? And I'm not trying to be unkind about this, but I am trying to let us see that it wasn't that obvious that when they looked, these magi studied the stars and understood their cycles and rhythms. They looked into the sky and they thought, it's different. There is something different. It is a kingly star. What does it mean? And they went out, get this, they went out by faith, not knowing what they would find at the end. We get to know the end of their story, but they don't. They set out. The next painting I'd like to show in the series of the wise men, this is a very famous painting by Rembrandt. Rembrandt is probably one of the most famous Dutch painters, if not the most, besides Van Gogh. If you'll look at the wise men in this picture, look at them, splendoring garb, wealthy and rich, right? And most of the figures in the painting are looking at the Magi. They're not looking at Jesus. They're busy looking around. Wow, look at those splendidly robed guys. Man, they're wealthy. Look at all they've got. But look at the central figure, the lit figure. The Magi has taken off his hat, a sign of very much submission, bowed, and now is giving his allegiance to the king, the baby Jesus. What about us, guys? What about us? I had to borrow this from Kendrick. I forgot to bring mine. Have we given this our allegiance for Christmas? By the way, you can't have this one. If you're like me, the Christmas season arrives with just a thunder. And it's activity after activity after activity. And then I have to shop, wrap the gifts, get them under, decorate, go to the party, look happy, never get tired, right? Make every relative happy that I can, right? Cook the food, clean it up. And by the time Christmas ends, could somebody just get me to the bed, right? I don't know about you guys. It's how I feel at times. I'm looking all around at all the twinkling, glittery things, and I'm missing what the Magi get, which is Jesus has come. He's here with us. He deserves my every allegiance, my time, my care, so that when I am cooking, which, by the way, is one of the chores I hate the most, I ask him in, and I say, Lord, be with me in my cooking, because you have come. I celebrate you in this task of shopping with a bunch of irritated people, because I have you. And I have everything, even if I can't find that perfect gift. I have everything in him. I'd like to show you my painting for this season. I call this Come and Find Me. This comes from Esther Meeks. She wrote a book called The Little Manual of Knowing. And she wrote this about the Magi. It's not just studying stars for facts, but pursuing a deeper meaning, not yet knowing, but going out anyway. At this time last year, this very time last year, I was in Big Bend National Park. And guys, I was soaking up the night sky. I would go out and I would look at the stars and I would think, how much are we missing, Lord, in the city with our artificial lights? the splendor of the deep, deep sky, and all of the glitter box of heaven poured out. That's what Allison says. Isn't that true? And I call it come and find me because it takes some effort on our part to find Jesus in the season. Obviously, he lives in each and every one of our hearts. Yes, we've known him and we love him. But it will take us going out by faith and saying, Jesus, meet me in Christmas. Let me celebrate your birthday. That's not corny. That's good. Don't miss it. And by the way, remember that this holiday is a holy and precious gift. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.